Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 154 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are really just going to recap all the very boring events of our past week. It's pretty much what it boils down to. We're going to talk about what we've done, what we've watched, what we've read. It's fascinating. We don't even talk about a single beauty product, but don't let that stop you from listening because golly, you can't even imagine the excitement. Before we get to that, though, I just want to remind you that if you have not yet joined us on Patreon, we would love for you to do that. You'll get 2 extra episodes a month, a closer look episode and a Q&A episode. And all you have to do to get that bonus content is go to patreon.com/bigboo and subscribe. We're so grateful to those of you who are already there with us, and we cannot wait for even more of you to join us. It has been a ton of fun. Alrighty, here we go with episode 154. Hey everybody, this is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And this is not our happiest post-football Monday, maybe.
No, I mean, I feel like the Aggies won, but you know how I feel about that Arkansas game every year.
I do. And it's as sure as the sun, it's going to be ugly and it's going to be close.
Yeah, it's going to be at 11 o'clock in the morning, which annoys me to no end because that's the worst. That's the bottom dweller of game times. Mm-hmm. It's at Jerry World in Dallas, which I think is a charm-free football stadium. Mm-hmm. No offense to Jerry Jones, not that he's really worried about my input on the deal, but he apparently didn't even stay for the trophy presentation because he already took his jet to New Orleans. So that's how much he cares about the whole deal.
Well, I did see some video of him today going down Bourbon Street. So, or yeah. Maybe not Bourbon Street, but he was in the French Quarter. So it was a quick trip for him.
Yeah. He basically just came down there to whatever. And so it's just one of those games. I hate it every year. The Aggies, I will say, we've won it 8 years in a row, but it's always ugly. It's always terrible. It always stresses me out. We always do stupid stuff like fumble the ball by their goal line so they can pick it up and score. It's just, it's the dumbest of all games all season long. So by the time it was over, it was a win that felt like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was, I would say, the least gratifying of wins possible.
Yeah. And that's really how that game feels every year. I mean, every year we win it and it's like, that felt like I'm going to count it as a win and we didn't lose, which if we had. But I'm going to tell you that to me, the biggest dagger in my heart was when the AP polls came out. And listen, I'm happy for the SMU fans because it has been a long drought for SMU football.
It certainly has.
Mm-hmm. But the fact that they are ranked now number 23 and A&M is ranked number 25 feels like something is wrong in the state of Texas. I don't even understand. Is it 1983? No, it's not.
Well, is Bobby Collins the coach? No, he's not.
No.
I can't even say what you've said about State's game. I'm going to tell you that, listen, I love my Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. I am loyal. I will love them forever. Yeah. We don't have to win any more games ever, and I will continue to love them.
Yes.
But when you have a delay of game penalty on the first play of the game, I'm gonna give you a hard time about that. Here's why. You had a week, really. I feel like in a week.
Yeah,
we can be fairly certain about what that first play is going to be. Maybe Auburn lined up in such a way that confused us. I don't know. I'm going to tell you my other thing about this game, and there are zero people who have asked me for my opinion, and zero coaches who have consulted me to see how I felt about it.
You don't start Tommy Stephens in that game, because in the Kansas State game a couple of weeks ago, here's what Garrett Schrader did. He did a helicopter over Kansas State players, and at which point he proved to that team, I'm your guy. I will sacrifice myself for the betterment of this team. And he is feisty and he is scrappy. And what he makes, what he lacks maybe in arm strength, he makes up for in just like sort of blind determination.
Yeah.
You do not, as even if you think Tommy Stephens is a more skilled quarterback, which he is, you go with the guy your team responds to in that environment on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
When you're not at home. And so I feel like we did not do our team a favor. I feel like we put them in a situation clearly at the beginning where we weren't entirely sure what the play was going to be when we started. Yes. And then we've got a guy who's playing who is, sure, he's a good quarterback, but he's not the guy who has laid it out there for the whole team. I don't know. I just thought I had some thoughts like that. So when they go up 21-0, I'm just like, well, what can I watch? What would be a good television show? I just sort of, I had to kind of check out, and I kept it up and running on the computer so I could check in, but it really just never got better.
No, just in case it was the comeback of the century. Mm-hmm. I felt like, I'm going to say this, and you know, I never want to see Mississippi State suffer football wise, because that's a team that I love because of you. But I will say that Auburn's complete dominance of that football game did help me find some comfort in the fact that they also dominated A&M the week before, because it was that thing of, okay, Auburn is legit. Like and you could tell by Gus Malzahn's body language, there was a lot of boom happening on the sidelines and whatever. Uh-huh. Gus is real proud of his team right now. I mean, as he should be. I mean,
as he should be.
I think they declared themselves a real contender when it all comes down to it for the SEC West. And you have moments like y'all's delay a game to start the game. A&M, we have moments like the two timeouts that we took with 30 seconds left at the half that we took back to back when we were trying to score before the half, where you just go, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and say we aren't a solid SEC West contender this year.
Right. We're not disciplined. Yeah. And that grieves me a little bit. But Alex even said Saturday night when the game was close to ever, he was like, Mama, we're going to get so much grief on Monday. And I said, no, we're not. And here's why. Because, you know, our school has a lot of Auburn fans.
Yes.
I said, no, we're not. Here's why. And he said, why? And I said, because as soon as it's anybody.
Oops, sorry.
Sorry.
That was.
Was that the Lord?
No, it was. It was Coach Moorhead calling, and he wants to explain why there was the delay of the game.
That's right.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm glad he's going to weigh in. But I said, no, we're not going to get grief, because if anybody does say anything, here's our response. Y'all are such a better team than we are. You have such a great team. And that's where, as somebody, I mean, I like to cheer for Auburn in all the sports. And so as somebody who enjoys Auburn athletics, I can say good for you, Auburn fans, because all you people, as I have said before, all you people who believe in Auburn and love it, y'all are in for a year. I feel like y'all are in for a really fun year. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now.
What?
If Alabama's defense does not do a better job, especially in the first half of a football game, they may have a handle on their hands. They're going to have a problem.
Yeah, I'm going to say that one time. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I was looking at Auburn going, it's going to be really – Saturday night was a weird night for football, because after I watched the A&M Arkansas game, I kind of lost my will to want to enjoy college football. Like, I just was kind of checked out and thought, you know, I'm going to find something else to do. But, we kept it on, and then Perry had gone to the ranch, and he came home. And so we turned on, and I was like, well, Mississippi State and Auburn are playing, Ohio State and Nebraska. Every game Saturday night was a blowout. Like, every game. And I thought, I'm looking forward to when we get to the part of the season where Auburn plays LSU, Auburn plays Alabama, LSU plays Alabama. Like, I'm ready for some, like, just in the trenches, like, good games. So, because these blowouts, and I do have to say, I'm going to take back my words like I did a little bit about Texas a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to say I doubted Ohio State Mm-hmm. And I know I tend to, you know, I tend to sometimes poo-poo on the Big Ten, but I'm going to say Ohio State looks legit. They too are a big contender this year.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It was just one of those Saturdays where it was just, I don't know, nothing was super fun. There was no moment where you were like, oh, I love college football.
Okay, Clemson, North Carolina.
That's true. As soon as I said that, I thought Clemson, North Carolina, but Clemson still won.
Yeah, so, they did. But I admired Mac Brown for going for the two. I was like, you got to go for the two there. I get it, but I'm like, you've got to think odds are Clemson's going to beat you in overtime. And you think they're playing for a national championship potentially. And you think North Carolina's already got two losses. They lost to Appalachian State. So it's like, why not go big? Why not go for it?
Well, there was Alex and some of his friends eat in my office at lunchtime, and there was quite a discussion today. There was a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking happening at lunch today, and they all seemed to disagree with Mac Brown going for two.
Okay,
but I tend to, as a student of college football, now this is a bunch of 16-year-old boys. I tend to think that it was the move. Like, I think you've got to go for it. Because again, you have to think that Clemson is going to beat you in overtime, like, and probably, you know, Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, and I think it's different because I'm like, if Mac Brown at that point were undefeated and you're like, okay, we could potentially be playing for something here, then I think you make the safe bet. And I think then you go for overtime. But I think because it's like, look, we lost to Appalachian State. I mean, we could win out at this point and nobody's going to let us play in the national championship game. Like,
right.
And I think Mac just wanted himself another chance to dance in the dressing room. That's what I think. And I'm sad that didn't happen. That's the real tragedy of Saturday.
That really is. That's, we all lost in that sense.
That's right.
We really did. Well, I guess it'll, you know, we'll see how things go. State plays Tennessee next. And I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you'd like to think that we can handle that. And listen, I will, like I said, I will always root for my Bulldogs.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, we've had all these people who have been out for suspensions because we had all these people who cheated. And so they've mixed up kind of who's out what games, I guess, because everybody's got to miss a certain number of games. And so I don't know. It just feels like there's not a lot of cohesion because you don't play with the same lineup. You know, we haven't played with the same lineup the whole season.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But again, we had a delay game penalty on the first play of the game, which will always take me back to the latter years of the Jackie Sherrill era, where it was like we just could not seem to help ourselves when it came to penalties. So
yeah, and that's a little bit how the Aggies felt. We have a bye this week, and then we have Alabama next. So you know, it is what it is. I mean, my love for A&M is so deep and true and goes so beyond what we do on the football field. So, you know, I'll always wish them the best. I'm just saying, I don't know that I'm going to, my heart and soul, I don't think I've backed it off a little bit, you know, I've lowered my expectations and that's okay.
I mean, how much can one person take, really?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I just think you have to be wise. And we're off this week, too. We don't play Kentucky until, I mean, Tennessee. I mean, we don't play Tennessee until the, what's that? That, will that be the 12th?
The 12th at that point. So Alabama A&M is the 2:30 game on CBS. They just announced that today because there was a chance that I was going to be able to go to that game if it were an evening game, but it's a 2:30 game. So I'm out.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Listen, because here's what I'm going to tell you. If it's not any cooler by then than it currently is right now, I'm not going outside anyway. I don't care if somebody tells me we're going to upset Alabama. I would say it's too hot. I don't care. I'm not going outside.
Well, my friend Heather was saying today, she was like, listen, it grieves me when I look at all these SEC games and the stands are half empty, but how could anybody sit in that? You cannot sit in an afternoon football game where it is 105 degrees on the field. Like you can't, that's not what those stadiums are for. It's supposed to be different. I'm not sitting in that. I mean, I think even when it was so hot during the baseball regionals this past year and that first game that was in the middle of the day, I spent back in that you know, little lounge area that you can get to in the baseball stadium with Daphne because it was too hot to sit out there. It's just,
yeah.
Oh, it's miserable.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I need fall to show up. Our 10-day forecast shows that it's supposed to be cooler by this time next week, but I'll believe it when I see it. I feel like they keep throwing that out there, trying to make us all hang on, and it just feels like lies. It feels like lies and propaganda.
Well, this will for real be. This is my birthday week. It is always cool during my birthday, except last year it was a little warm still. It was humid. And then this year it's just straight up summer, which has never been that way for an October birthday for me.
No, it's miserable. Perry used to always say September 22nd, 23rd, you could count on our first cool front. And that did not happen this year.
Well, I'm ready for it to, I'm ready for that to correct itself.
Me too, because I'm tired of it. I've had it.
I have too. So. I went to the grocery store earlier today and I thought if I stood in this parking lot for long enough, I would probably burst into flames. I'm not even exaggerating. Like I just really felt like I would burst into flames. It was so hot on that pavement.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we were walking into church yesterday morning and it was like 9:30. And so it's not, but it was so humid and so hot. And I was just, and it's kind of a haul to walk from the parking lot up to the doors of our church. And I thought I hate it. I'm so over it. I've been hot for so long.
I'm
tired of it. Yeah. I'm tired of it. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, here's what I did. And when I made my peace with the fact that the Bulldogs were not going to be victorious over the Auburn Tigers. I started to look for something to watch and I thought about watching the new Ben Platt show, The Politician. I don't know really anything about it, but I thought, well, I could watch that. I thought about getting into the Great British Baking Show, the new season of that, which I always enjoy. I thought about, there are a couple of other shows that I've been interested in. But let me tell you where I ended up, which is not where I expected. I started to realize, I was thinking about the Cowboys playing the Saints yesterday, and I thought, oh, I have not watched this season of Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders making the team.
Oh, well, you had to remedy that.
I really did. So when I tell you I went in strong with that, I brought every gifting the Lord has given me to that to that show. I went in with some determination. I went in with some commitment. And I'm caught up. I'm here to tell you, I managed to watch 9 episodes over the course of about 36 hours.
Well done.
Thank you.
No delay of game penalty for you. I'll tell you that.
That's right. There was no delay of game penalty. I feel like I'm up to speed. I think that there's a new episode sometime this week. I don't know what day it comes on, but
okay.
But I'm all good, and I just enjoyed it. Oh, I enjoyed it. It was just what I needed.
I haven't watched it this season, so now I feel like I need to. I kind of forget about it, but I've always enjoyed it in the past.
Well, you know, I love Kelly and Judy. They make me happy. Yes. I mean, just the degree of care and the serious nature with which they approach that whole thing. Their determination to be a world-class entertainment organization is second to none. I mean, they are just so determined and they are so structured, and just the way they run that whole thing brings me great joy. And so I don't know if they did this last season or not. I don't remember. But this season, at least, they bring in a different guest choreographer every week.
Oh.
And the girls learn a routine, and it's all different kinds of, I mean, it's different styles of dance. And I'm going to tell you, it was delightful. It was just delightful to see the different choreographers come in, the different kinds of routines they would do. And to see, because with doing that, you see what really incredible dancers those girls are. I mean, just crazy gifted dancers. And so, anyway.
So is Miss Kitty still there? Does Miss Kitty still come around and coach them?
Or? Listen, she has not been out this season. I mean, like, I thought, have they put Miss Kitty to pasture, so to speak? because she used to always come in, you know, and evaluate the girls, and then they'd send the ones who were struggling to her. But now they've got these guest choreographers coming in. And so I have not seen her yet. Now, she may make an appearance next week. I think next week's the last episode. Not so far. There has been no Miss Kitty.
All right. Well, I don't know where Miss Kitty is. Maybe she decided she was done.
But I'm going to put this into the universe. As you know, you and I like to laugh and do sometimes. We'll put it into the universe. I'm just putting this out there. I would love to be a judge for the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders tryouts at some time in my life.
How fun would that be?
I would specifically like to be a judge on the day when the girls do their solo numbers at tryouts. That would, I've always wanted to judge a pageant. I've never judged a pageant.
Yeah.
But I would also like to judge the auditions. Now, am I qualified? I'm not. I have a lot of enthusiasm.
That's right.
And I have a deep appreciation for all the arts, really. And I would just like to say that if anybody, ever, maybe somebody who's listening will have to drop out at some point. Maybe they're a judge. I'm just going to sub for you. That's what I'll say. Yeah. I'm available to sub.
Mm-hmm. You did those soul dancing classes. You did those the dance in the dark classes. I feel like that gives you some qualifications because you've done that.
And I was a cheerleader in ninth grade.
Okay. So. Then I think, I don't really know what more they could ask for. I feel like what you bring to the table is immense.
Thank you. I do too.
Professional. I think you're the person for the job.
Thank you. So if anybody happens to know Kelly Finglass, if you would just pass along my name, and it's BOOMAMA205@gmail.com. If you would just direct her to that email address, I'd appreciate it. And thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's good. I think that's good for you to put that out there. I don't see why that can't happen at some point. I feel like that would be a good juncture at this point in your career.
Well, and I feel like also if they would let Dak judge at some point and I could judge with Dak.
That would
really, I'm just putting it, if you don't say it, how will the people know? So
that's right.
So I'm just saying, if I could judge it, and if Dak also happened to judge, which is probably against some kind of rules, because I feel like they have a lot of rules about that kind of thing. But that's how I'd like to see that play out.
You might as well speak that out. I don't see anything wrong with putting that out there. So, I went a totally different direction. So I was home Friday night. I did not feel good. I had a little bit of a cold at the end of last week. And so Friday night, I did not feel like doing anything. And, hold on. I'm sorry. My ship shopper, this is very important.
Okay.
They don't have the great Pedialyte, which is what we need. But I was home. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to watch something because I'm here by myself. Perry and Caroline went bird hunting on Friday night. And so I had to myself. So I watched, on the recommendation of several people, the season two of Fleabag on Amazon,
which is Jamie Golden's favorite. And I started it back in the summer, and then I got sidetracked with the edits and I never went back to it.
Okay. I will say, when I first started hearing people talk about Fleabag several months ago, I started with season one because it's before I knew. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Do not start with season one. Start with season one at your own peril. I didn't really like season one. I quit watching it. It just wasn't for me. It was a little too much. But I trust Jamie Golden, and I can't remember. There were several other people that mentioned it. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to start. And everybody assured me you can start with season two, and you could, watch it kind of as a standalone, and you don't miss. I mean, you miss some, but they kind of catch you up. But it was really good. It was, it's dark, but it's funny. It's so well done and so well written, and just a really interesting story. So I really, really liked it.
And then only six episodes?
It's six episodes and they're 30 minutes. So it's like I literally watched it like the time to watch a movie. That's what I watched Friday night. I watched all six episodes just back to back.
Okay.
And I really liked it. It's not kid friendly. Just know that it's got adult content, it's got adult language, but it's just the stories and the relationships and the writing, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge is just a complete delight. And Olivia Colman, who's going to be Queen Elizabeth in The Crown, upcoming, plays her stepmother. She's brilliant. I really like the whole thing. It was really good.
I loved Olivia Colman. I can't remember when I watched this exactly, but I've seen all the seasons of it. And I'm going to have to go check on something here real quick.
Okay.
But there's a British mystery show.
Oh, Broadchurch.
Broadchurch. Yeah. Hey, hold on one sec. Okay. Hold on. Okay. But yes, I saw her on Broadchurch on all the seasons, and she's so good. She's so, yeah. so good.
She's really good. And she's really good in this too. Like just really, funny and just dry and just, I really like her. It's a great role for her. So, if you're looking for something to watch that's in the dark humor category, this is a good one.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and then in the rest of my weekend, I spent reading The American Royals. Have you started American Royals?
I have read a little bit, but I always fall asleep at night. So what's your verdict? I haven't finished it.
I like it. I have to say, overall, here's the thing. I read it. There's nothing groundbreaking. It's very predictable. Like, okay. I feel like so far, we'll see how it ends. I'm probably maybe 50 pages from the end. It's pretty predictable, but it's everything that I love. I mean, you know, you've got the crown jewels, you've got royalty, you have princesses, you have romance, you have a scheming ex-girlfriend. It's really, I don't know what more you could want in just basically a really easy, simple, intriguing read. So okay. I have to say I'm a fan. I like it. It's, I mean, it's not the royal we, but I mean, what is?
What is?
Yeah, but it's good. It's good. It's good for what it is. So, and I'm hoping it's jump-started me back into reading, and I'll maybe pick up some other books after this one's over.
I feel like I bought several things about the time I bought that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've got to finish it before I can get to the other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem.
Well, the other thing, our other big moment of the weekend, besides the terrible Mississippi State show and then the subsequent viewing of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders making the team, which, by the way, may have the worst theme song of any television show I have ever watched. Like,
is it the same one they've always had?
Has it always had lyrics?
I don't remember lyrics.
Oh, it has lyrics this year, and I think Alex wrote it. It's really something. I mean, it's like four lines, and the rhymes are, I can't remember. I know at one point they rhyme screaming team. It's terrible. The other thing is we have homecoming this week at school.
Oh, okay.
It's homecoming week. So Alex, of course, has grown since last year when the Christmas dance, and he got a new blue blazer for that. Well, now he needed another one plus pants plus a shirt. So we had to go shopping yesterday to get that stuff. And I'm just gonna say, I had to get a little tickled at least, because we ended up at Belk, which was full of teenage boys and their mothers. Also, everybody's buying homecoming stuff. Even the girl who came up to see if she could help us, she said, "Let me guess, y'all are shopping for homecoming." And I was like, "We sure are." So I'm gonna tell you that if there is one common denominator between Alex as a toddler and Alex as a teenager, it is a deep hatred of trying on pants. He hates it.
He hates it.
Mm-hmm. He hates it. And so it was quite a time we had in the Belk yesterday. It took us like 2 seconds to find a sport coat. But the pants situation was a real joy. It was really, and of course, I can't go back there with him anymore because that would be weird. So I have to send him back with the pants and then let him come out and show me the pants. And I think he had to try on about 10 different pair. And so, I mean, like, he could not have gotten out of there any faster than we did. He hated every minute of it so much. But that is not for the faint of heart, shopping with a teenage boy who does not like to shop. Ooh.
No. Well, and none of them like to shop. I mean, Perry had needed a new white dress shirt for like the last 2 years. And like, finally, I kept saying, I don't want to have to go and then I have to return a bunch of them. But you know what I finally did? I went and I bought them, and then I had to return a bunch of them, because it was like, for 2 years, I'd say, "Hey, you could go shop for a white dress shirt. Maybe you need to go try on white dress shirts." I don't know why they hate trying on clothes.
Oh, hold on. Sorry. It's awful. I mean, I don't understand it, but I really do know this. If I had not said, "We are going today, we have to get you new clothes," he would have absolutely gone back to get dressed next Saturday night and put on his old dress pants, his old
too short, Yeah.
Too short. His old jacket, his old blue sport coat, which would have the sleeves, you know, like 3 inches up from his wrists. Busting out of that thing in the back like the Incredible Hulk. I mean, and he wouldn't have batted an eye. He'd have been just as he like just what whatever it takes to not have to go buy something new is basically what he's interested in.
It reminds me of a friend of mine. Last year, her son was a freshman in high school, and he was going to take a girl to homecoming. And she was like, we've got to go shopping. You don't have anything to wear. Like, you don't have a sport coat. You don't have. And he was like, well, he said, it's fine. I don't want to go do that. And she's like, well, then what do you think you're going to wear? And he's like, I'll just wear my band uniform. And like that, she said, babe, you can't wear your band uniform to homecoming. But I mean, but the fact that he even thought that was an option as opposed to having to go shop for a pair of khaki pants and a sport coat, that it just seemed reasonable. I'll just wear my band uniform. And we debated, did he think with or without the plumed hat? Like, in which variation of the band uniform are you going all in on?
What's everybody's problem? Why can't you just wear a band? What's wrong with you people? Why can't you just wear a band uniform?
Yeah. Why do you have to be dressed up? So
bless it.
I know. But it's, you know, it's the homecoming. I feel like all over. I think it was not this past year because we had to shop so fast this past year. But I think the year before was when it dawned on me that if somebody would come up with a service where they have like a drink cart that goes through the Dillard's dressing room while moms are in there with their kids trying to get them outfitted for these occasions.
Hand over fist. They'd be making money.
You'd make $1 million. You'd be like, bring it on. Pour me another one, because it's just a lot of, in fact, I saw somebody on Instagram and it made me laugh, but she had been with her daughter and she said that she heard conversations like this in the next room. Your daddy's going to tell you that looks beautiful. And after you go to bed tonight, he's going to tell me you cannot wear something that short to homecoming. That feels so true.
Yep. That feels about right.
Yep.
Feels about right. Well, a friend of mine's daughter, they ordered a dress that was her favorite color, and it looked absolutely beautiful, you know, in the picture. And then the thing came in and she sent me a picture. That thing had zero back. It had no back. It was not great. It was not a great situation in the back. I don't know how you would ever keep that thing, how it would ever cooperate with you if you would stand and sit, but
it's just something. But I will say that I love, because this past weekend, you know, it was our homecoming like 2 weekends ago. This past weekend was other friends of mine on social media. And I love seeing all the kids dressed up for homecoming. It's like my favorite social media post. I love to see all the different dresses, all the different variations of an outfit, what people wear, the different traditions at the different schools. I'm so in for that on social media.
I am too. I love it so much. And like, I'm just sorry for the generation of parents before us that didn't get to vicariously live through everybody's homecoming events. And all, yes. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I love seeing it like this week. Cause you know, Caroline's school, they still do like, they do the smaller, like a reasonable size mom that they wear to the football game or whatever. But I mean, this weekend it was like, there were moms that people were carrying around on coat hangers. There was somebody that had a wagon carrying her mom because it was so
wagon.
A wagon. I was like, I love to see all the different ways that I like to see all the different dresses. And then there are people that I want to say, hey, could you email that third girl on the left in that picture and ask her where she got that dress? Because that's one we might want to copy. I don't know her, but I'd like to know where that came from. So
I might be interested in that for 2020 homecoming.
Exactly. What size is that? Is she interested in some sort of lease program for that dress? Mm-hmm. Because we like that one. So I love seeing all the different pictures.
Well, the other highlight from my week from last week, we didn't do an episode last week we didn't do a normal episode last week. We did a Patreon episode last week, a Q&A. But the highlight that I have not yet discussed was that last Thursday night, I went to see, hold on 1 second. I'm so glad you caught that.
Yeah.
So let me tell you about a really fun thing I did last week.
Tell me. I'm all ears.
Oh.
It's like I can't even guess what you're about to say.
Or can you? Can you even predict what I'm about to say? I bet you can. So last week, I just told Melanie the story, but I wasn't recording, so I've got to tell it again. Which means now the story is going to last 15 seconds.
I'm going to guess what you didn't do last week. Go to a seminar in podcast excellence. I'm going to say that neither one of us
attended
that particular seminar.
Listen, somebody asked last week if our podcast was available on Spotify, to which I replied, I don't know. So I looked to see how you can put your podcast on Spotify, and it had some audio specifications. And I don't know that that's us.
I bet we don't qualify.
I don't know that we qualify. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway. Mm-hmm. I'll still try to put it up on Spotify, but anyway. So last week, this is what I just told Melanie. This is really the third time she's heard it, because she heard it last week when it happened in real time.
Okay. I can't get enough. I can't get enough of it.
I'm so glad. So last week, Annie Downs and Angie Smith and Danielle Walker were in Birmingham for their Come to the Table tour, which they did with Compassion International. And I went because I have not heard Annie speak in a long time. I have not heard Angie speak in a long time. And I just wanted to. So it was delightful. It was so fun and real and engaging, and it was a great night all the way around. And here's how I really know it was great. Is I woke up the next day thinking about it, and I continued to think about it all weekend.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, and what I told you is I don't really know Danielle, but I know Annie and Angie, and they are so dadgum funny, like two of the funniest, most quick-witted people I know. So I can't even imagine how much fun it would be. Like, if there was anybody I wanted to go see, it would be the two of them, just because they're so funny.
They were hilarious, but they were also, they both taught a lesson. Angie taught from Luke, and Annie taught from Psalm 126, I think. And so they both had incredible lessons. I still remember so much of what they said. And because I don't get to sit out like in the audience a lot at women's events, because I don't get to go as often maybe as I used to. I don't know. I loved that it was exactly who they are. So I loved knowing, like, well, what Angie, this is exactly who Angie is. This is exactly who Annie is. I'm like you, I don't know Danielle very well, but my assumption is it's exactly who she is. Because she's close friends with them. I don't know. It was just, it was a really sweet night. And so I love that. And I hate that it's over, because I wish I had seen it the week before so I could tell everybody in those cities, like, y'all need to go. But if you do live in a town where any of those people are coming to speak, you should go see them. I think you will. The thing I told you the next day that I have still thought about over and over again was I think that there were women who left that place on Thursday night with some lighter loads. I think that there were some burdens that were lifted and that were ministered to. And I don't know. It was encouraging for me to see that. So that was a fun night.
Yeah. And I mean, don't we all need a little lighter load sometimes?
Oh,
you know
my
what I mean?
Goodness. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, oh man. Well, that's so good. I'm so glad. I can't remember. It was such a weird weekend here because I started feeling bad. I'm trying to think. I was at a deal at Caroline's school all day Thursday, for this, program that I'm helping with. And so I was there all day Thursday and I wasn't feeling great then. And then that kind of wiped me out. And so Friday I was home all day, and then we had nothing all weekend. Like, our football team had an away game like 2 hours away, so we knew we weren't going to that. Caroline didn't have soccer, which never happens. Mm. It feels like, so we didn't have that. So she and Perry got to go dove hunting. So that was fun, because that was a good chance for them to go do that. But I mean, I later on Saturday, and then we did get up and go to church Sunday morning. And then I laid around the rest of the day. Like, I felt like this was the weekend where I was like, if I sit on the couch for 2 minutes, I'm back asleep. Like, I would go back to sleep. But then today I woke up and I was kind of, and really even by yesterday afternoon, I was kind of stir crazy. Like, I was feeling better and I was like, okay, I need to get out and do something and be productive. So, that is what I did.
Well, I have been trying to figure out, you know, we're redoing our bathroom and it's gutted now, and they've built the frame for the new shower. But
you know, as things tend to happen this way, when anytime you have any kind of remodeling or redoing or whatever, Alex today, our contractor sent me an email and said, "Hey, is the key still in the same place?" And so, and Alex was like, "Oh no, I put that key on my key ring." So they couldn't get in the house today.
Oh man.
But David and I went one night last week to pick out tile, which is another thing people should have to do before they get married. Yes. You know how you always say that before people get married, they need to tend to a sick child. They need to deal with somebody with a stomach virus. They also need to go to a large tile storage warehouse type facility, and they need to figure out what tile they would like to have in their bathroom. I finally, at one point, I texted my friend Grant, and who helped me with the colors and stuff for the house when we did the painting this past summer. And I said, "David and I are about to get a divorce inside of floors and decor and homewood. So do you have any thoughts on these tiles I'm about to send you?" And David was really, he was the patient one. I was so ready to be finished and to know it, like, makes me feel like I'm in a fabric store and I'm trapped and you know, and everything's dumb and I hate that.
Yeah.
And, anyway, David was very patient and continued to bring things over, so that I could say how I didn't like it. And, but eventually we came to a consensus. So now we've got to figure out our vanity situation, because the space we have is not a standard space. Mm-hmm. And I don't want anything that looks, as my mama would say, that looks skimpy in there. I want something to fill up the space. But I think
hold on. My computer's about to die. Alert. Hold on. I'm going to go grab my charger. Hold on. Sorry. Okay. I'm so sorry. My computer's doing this weird thing where it goes from being like fully charged to like not charged in like 2 seconds.
The speed with which you moved just then.
Well, because I thought if this thing erases, if my computer dies, this is going to be one of those where we're like, this was a 20-minute version of the podcast. It's been great having you all here.
You were like Garrett Schrader hopping over those two Kansas State defenders.
I did. I just helicoptered over the couch to grab that charger cord.
Golly.
Listen, I will get it done. There was no delay game here. I'll tell you that.
Okay. And goodbye, everyone. We've wrapped that up. Yeah. Anyway, all that to say, we picked out our tile. Okay. We've got to handle the vanity. And then,
is it narrower? Because we faced the thing where when we went, because we had two pedestal sinks in our master bath, and we went to like, we put in, what do you call them? You know, cabinets. We put in cabinets. And it's the technical term for those of us in the business.
That's what they say in the industry. That's right.
Yeah. So, but when we went to do, it was the width that was allowed was a lot narrower than what, so we had to get, our sinks are pretty small, and they work, but it was not a conventional like size, if that makes sense.
Right. Our depth is fine, but it's just a whole thing. Like, but the length is, we don't quite have like, you know, the increments that they come in, we don't have enough room like for a 60-inch vanity, but a 48-inch vanity is going to be too small.
Gotcha.
And so we've got to, so my friend Heather last week was like, well, if you go get a base cabinet that's got doors and that's 36 inches, and then you go get a set of drawers. I asked the contractor, I was like, can we sit down and talk about it tomorrow? Because I don't know how you put together cabinetry. Yeah. I kind of think we probably just need them to build something for us.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we've got to do that. But hopefully by the time Alex graduates, we will be all finished. Like, hopefully. Fingers crossed. It was really just supposed to take a couple of weeks. And now, well, it was probably like 3 weeks. And we may not be too far past that. But
okay. Well, it's just everything like that always ends up turning into something more, you know, like, that's the whole thing. Cause you know, I finally painted our bathroom cabinets that had been in there for 2 years. And so those are painted white. And at the time I had texted our friend Holly Mathis, also listener of the show, who's a decorator, and I just love her style and her taste and I always trust her. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about painting. Should I paint these cabinets white? That's what I'm thinking. All the trim is white. And then I was like, and I really am thinking about painting the bedroom, you know, a different color. What would you recommend? Should I go white? Should I go with a light gray? Is there an up and coming color? What's the whole thing? And so she kind of got back to me, but she got back to me a couple of days after I had finished painting the bathroom cabinets. And I had to text her back and say, I've just decided that the color it is probably going to come back in style at some point. Like, basically what that solidified for me is I have no interest in doing that. And I have no interest in hiring somebody to do that because I don't want to spend the money on it. And I don't care enough. And I don't want people in my house, especially in my bedroom, because that's a whole other level of inconvenience. And it's just, it's fine the way it is.
Well, when we were looking at tile last week, I was like, I want a tile for the base of the shower. I want tile for the shower itself. And then whatever's on the base, I want, like, and then I want a ledge that goes all the way across the shower, like a recessed shelf kind of thing that goes all the way across the back of the shower. And I would love a decorative tile there. Well, we go back and forth and back and forth, and David and I can't agree on the tile to go on the back of the ledge. And so I put, when we finally, David found a tile that I loved. And so anyway, so I sent all that to Grant, and he was like, I love the tile for the base of the shower. The shower tile's great. He said, I'm not sure about the tile that you think you're going to put on the back of the ledge. And so he said, what's on your floor? And I said, well, we have that ceramic tile that has like a wood grain in it. You know, it looks, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he said, you absolutely may not have a fourth tile in that bathroom. You can.
He's drawing the line.
Yeah. He said, You can take the penny tile that's going on the base of the shower and put that on the back of the ledge, on the back of the shelf, but you do not introduce a fourth tile. And I was like, see, that's why we need people who know about this stuff, because I would have absolutely put a fourth tile in that bathroom. And apparently that is one too many. So,
yeah. Well, you and I both have that decorating tendency where I'm like, if one pattern on my couch is good, then 74 is better. I'm going to have 74 different prints and colors.
Sure do. Like, there is no such thing as too busy, too colorful, none of that stuff. And then we actually bought one of those decorative tiles just so we could see. And then sure enough, when we got it in the bathroom, we realized it was really big. And it would have been all you saw when you walked in the bathroom. But in the store, I was so captivated by it.
Like, yes.
So here's to friends who stop you with your fourth tile, who say, that's enough is enough, no more.
Or say something like this. Holly will text me this. What you need to do is maybe just go get some solid color throw pillows. I'm like, okay. All right. So you're saying not that stripe that I just sent you. Is that what you're saying?
No more floral. No floral. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right.
Okay. Well, listen, we've had our complications, but we have powered through.
We have powered through. I'm headed to a JV football game in just a little bit.
Okay.
To watch number 53.
Okay. Go 53.
Go 5-3. And, and we're playing a 7A team, which is Alex said today, he was like, Mama, their guys are like 6'4". I was like, and then of course I'm like, well, you just get in there and you just, just do your best and you'll have fun together as a team and you'll learn some things.
Given Monday night, any team can beat another team.
Anybody can beat anybody. You just never know. Well, who am I? No, but when did I become this person who's I'm Mike Brady in female form, I feel like.
It's what happens to us. It's what happens. Well, I am going to cook tacos for dinner.
Delicious.
And I know. Well, this is one of those weeks where like I planned it out because I was like, you know what? I'm doing tacos one night. I'm doing spaghetti and meatballs one night. That's what we've got going on. So
sounds delicious.
Yeah. So that's it. So I'm going to go get started on dinner and that's pretty much the plan.
Okay. Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening to all this exciting conversation.
Yes. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you again soon.
Yes, we will. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.